Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Friday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is July 16th. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. I mean, what a day. Lots of fireworks out there. Lots of stuff going on.
A lot of fireworks. Hey, I've turned my mic volume up. I hope that's better. We've gotten several complaints that I've been too faint. Something got screwed up in traveling last week. Hopefully this is better. Great day. I have one major pressing question I've been pondering, bouncing around in my head all day after watching. Does anybody change their shaving cream consumption habits, purchasing habits, based on Barbasol sponsoring an opposite field event on the PGA Tour?
No. I don't.
What are they getting out of that? I just like popped into my head.
You know how much Barbasol you have to sell to merit like a $10 million sponsorship too? Like Barbasol costs like a dollar. A can. Their cans last a long time.
I'm just wondering what a shaving cream company gets out of an opposite field event in Kentucky during a major championship.
Here's the other question.
Where's that going? So like those can't be cheap either, probably. Like still you got a PGA Tour rate.
So here's the other question. Like a lot of these companies do it for the big corporate hospitality.
Yeah.
Who's Barbasol bringing out? Like do they have VIP customers or is it like what's their big client? Their big client buys 10 bottles. Like this guy's really hairy.
Jim Bob.
Super hairy. So he shaves a lot. So this is our VIP customer. This is probably going to be just like Dell and people are going to light us up about what we don't know about Barbasol and their client base. But
I'm Googling right now. I was got concerned it was like Procter & Gamble brand or like some subsidiary, you know, brand of a bigger company. But I think it's its own little thing, plugging along. I don't know. Like, of all the things to market, an opposite field event during the Open, I wonder. And shaving cream being the product, I've always wondered about that. But they've been around a long time. All right.
Hey, I got to issue an apology right off the top here.
Oh, God. Okay. Like Bryson. Bryson had his own big apology. Actually, he did not apologize. He regretted his words, I should say. There's a distinction there, but go ahead. What's your apology?
I tweeted from the fried egg account today. It was just a bad take. Now, given the circumstances, I had my baby. I was watching Josie. I had a split screen with Elmo going.
Uh-oh.
And I just said, hey, you know, maybe thick, rough. Injuries can happen from thick rough with Zalatoris, so that's why we should roll the ball back. You know what? It was a bad take. It's been a wet year in England.
Sandwich.
And that's why there's thick rough. You know, it's
a soggy sandwich.
Yeah. So you know what? It was a bad take. And I own it. I deleted the tweet. And I own it. I own my mistake. I own the bad take. It was awful. As Jim Calhoun once said in a famous press conference, what do you want me to say? I fucked up.
Really? I didn't see this, but like, this happened at Oakmont. They grew the rough up and it hurt Phil. Like, I don't know. What do you mean? It's possible. You're saying it's not necessarily maybe not the instance in Zalatoris' case. Is that what you're suggesting?
Unlike many people on the internet, I'm not going to run from my deleted tweet and act like it didn't happen. It happened. It was a bad take. And I deleted it. And I own it. Unlike people that mysteriously delete tweets in the middle of the night and then act like they never happened.
Who did that? Okay. All right. Well, yeah.
Maybe Zalatoris. A data boy.
Early in the day, Zalatoris had the WD. I don't know if that played into his part, but it's like it played into his putt. But of course, we didn't know that at the time. His putt was terrible. It was still terrible. It was. We observed it.
Oh.
We reacted to it. Like you're like, oh, you're banging on a hurt guy. Like what? What? Don't get all high and mighty the next day. Like, get out of here.
Here's the other thing. I was speaking with an astute listener last night, a very highly qualified amateur golfer, an elite mid amateur golfer, who pointed out to me, "Hey, this isn't the first time this happened with Zalatoris."
Right.
In a major championship. If you go back and you watch his par putt on the ninth hole at Augusta National, it is downright scary. It goes in. It's the same thing, though. And then, if you remember, from there on out in the final round, he putted very, 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 very poorly. And on the 12th hole, he had the angle is not great that you can see it from but it was another heebie-jeebie jab. And
he's not a good putter, like whether he was hurt or not.
So I don't think the injury had anything to do with that putt the other day. And I think, you know, I saw that there was a doctor chiming in. If it was affecting his putting, it would have affected his swing, which, you know, was fine those last two holes.
Right. All right. So moving on, you're very nice. We appreciate your apology, I guess. I don't know.
I think it's important.
Everybody has bad takes
on Twitter. When you mess up, if people are going to come at you, just don't delete it and act like nothing happened. It was a bad take.
Okay. Fine. I don't know that it was, but okay. All right. Delete it. I'm not going to get in the way of your apology. All right. Our 36 hole leader is Louis Oosthuizen. Backs up his 64 with the 65. That felt like it could have been better. I don't know. I think, although he started missing greens down the stretch, missed three in a row. 65 felt like among the high. Maybe it could have been a 66. He was lucky to save one at 17. He missed the green left in a bad spot. Missed in the Bjorn bunker, as we're now officially calling it, at 16. Those were the kind of only the slight hiccups you saw.
The Thorbjorn? Bunker or the Thorbjorn
the piss bear bunker.
Well, you know, one of my favorite jokes of all time was Antifaldo's is Michael Thorbjorn's son.
That's not bad. That's pretty good.
For those that don't, Michael Thorbjornsson is a former U.S. junior champion and rising star at Stanford.
So Usti had a few loose shots, but again, looked extremely strong. Eagled the par 5, the 14th, down the stretch. Just was racing out there. Got to 12 at one point. He's now at 11. He's two clear of Colin Morikawa. Where are you now on the Mattress King? Are you feeling better, similar? You still got to see it all the way through to the end on Sunday before you feel anything? Like, where are you right now with the Mattress King?
I mean, after 14, it felt like, you know, and then the drive on 15, because that was the thing. He had a couple high right shots coming in, and that's what we saw him doing at the PGA. You know, it was kind of that wipey fade. It you know, maybe that's what his shot is under pressure. You know, when his misses, because he did that on 16, even though that went really far for a wipey fade, right? You know,
it got back there.
But 15 was a really bad approach shot. And obviously, I think 17, that's a yard from being really good. You know, that's just a really great major championship pin, right? Because we saw DJ go back there too a couple holes later. But in terms of Louis, like, he's playing great. It's like, I feel like we've seen him finish runner up in two majors. And I think this is the best he's played tee to green of any of those majors. Like, I think he's playing the best of all of those other majors so far. This is all, there's not a lot of stats with the Open, so this is all eye test, you know, that I don't, before anybody comes at me, I don't have stats that back that up, but it just looks that way. You know, Colin Morikawa played a great round this morning, probably should have shot better than 64.
I would say The fact that that Morikawa number, like the number on the scorecard, was the same as Louis's yesterday. Louis was a great run. It just felt like that was the absolute worst. I know that's a cliche. It's like, God, that round looked 10 times better than what Louis posted yesterday. And somehow it's the same, 10 times is an exaggeration, but then somehow it's the same number on the card. That was a sort of a tour de force, among the best you'll ever see at a major championship.
I think the course is really, you know, is with, given that it wasn't super firm to start, it's getting firmer, and that there's been no wind, I feel like the course is acquitting itself well in the sense that, like, when you play well, you're scoring, but, like, if you're not playing great, there's still trouble, right? Like, it's, yeah. If you're not playing great or you hit a bad shot, it's hard to make par.
We could ask Stuart Sink about that. What did he go? He shot 77. Finished 77 after 66. So
he literally sunk.
Stewart sunk? That's terrible. But we talked here last night, and it was like, it's really hard to see Louis, the way he's going right now, shooting like over par, let alone even par. And
yeah, that I was feel just like kind a of bad an easy round 71. Like
for
a
Louis
terrible,
or anybody for Louis.
Louis, like a yeah. awful. If he played horrendous tomorrow, it's 71.
Hey, he's putting. He's making the putts. Like he's just making them. I know that was the. I know the putting stats have always been there, but like this year, I should say, but like at Kiowa, he did not make like the par putt on 16 or 17 that he did today. That was whatever 12 to 15 feet. They went in today. He's making all the putts. The kind of, I don't know, eye evidence that back up all the actual statistical, you know, number one on tour and putting evidence. Those seem to be all going in. They're not leaving me any kind of concern there.
I will say that the bogey on 17 was big, I thought.
16.
Just because, or 16.
The bogey on 16, yeah.
A, it's a scoreable hole. It's a hole that guys, it's like, you know, the par's probably under three there, you know, the average of, and then guys in contention are probably making 2.7 on that hole. But, you know, it kind of gave, I feel like, a lot of guys that were in the 5 to 7 range a lot more hope.
Yep. They're showing the highlights. Why did Bryson DeChambeau try to pump up the fans on the first tee today?
Why does Bryson
do
anything?
That? He was like, I don't know what they just showed him. He was like, I don't know if he's trying to do the Patrick Reed thing at Glen Eagles. What a weirdo. Okay. Is Louis, I don't know. Is he your favorite? Is he the favorite?
I think if I'm Louis, Colin, I'm happy I'm playing Morikawa tomorrow, not Spieth.
Why?
I just think that Spieth's got a little bit more intimidation factor on the weekend.
Intimidation factor. All right. Okay.
Like, I'd be more unsettled with, I just don't think, like, I think Morikawa could stripe show you to death, but.
Yeah, that would be my concern, is like, if you get hit, what you got this morning with Colin, and you're watching that up close, you're like, oh, oi.
But I think when you're playing and somebody's chasing you down, and anytime they have a 25 footer or in, you're absolutely, utterly terrified that it might go in. It's way more, you know, awful when you're being chased.
Yep.
So yeah, it's like, you know, like you get to 10 feet and Morikawa is kind of just like, you know, yeah, well, really anything outside of 5 feet, and you're kind of like, I don't know if this is going in. So I think there's just like a little bit more of a settling feeling with that. That being said, you know, there's some big time players lurking around because Louis, I think that bogey was a big deal. DJ's all of a sudden four back. Then you got Brooksy, you know, and Rahm, they're six back. They could have been, you know, sevens. Wait, I feel like seven and six is a big ball game difference, and five and four, right? I know this
I mean, it's
is
one
like
shot.
It's one shot, but it just feels bigger.
Sure, but there's only 36 holes. It's not a lot of time. Let's go to Colin Morikawa. I think it's been a delight to watch Louis. I'm anxious for him. at a point there when he made the eagle on 14, I was kind of like, all right, well, this is good. Like, he'll get his St. Andrews sort of repeat where maybe the lead will be too big to blow. You know, he seems incapable of shooting like a 75 right now, but you never know what'll happen. And that's what it felt like it was trending towards. Maybe he was going to run away and hide and win, you know, have a 4 or 5 shot cushion for the weekend. But it's 2. He's over Colin Morikawa. Everybody, we talked about it last night. I thought we had a, you know, we had a wide-ranging Thursday chat. But we talked, so we don't need to repeat what we talked about yesterday. But they went for it. They ate it up about how he loves to hit different, the writers, the narrative people, the TV talkers. He only hits a freaking cut. This whole notion of, oh, I love coming over here, getting creative and mixing it up. And, like, this isn't, like, this. I'm not saying this pejoratively. It's not, like, he's, like, the best ever or best in the world right now, maybe, at hitting a cut. And certainly with irons, repeatedly, over and over. And within a very small window of misses.
He's a generational iron player. But it's a one shape, you know, it's not the generational iron player in the sense of Tiger, where it was a wide array of shots, every shot in the bag. It's a one shape thing. Like, he varies trajectories. Like, you know, different.
You have
that's
to.
Different shapes, I guess. But it's not, I don't think that's different shapes. That's just different windows, like he alluded to. But there's no different shape. It is a small fade. But it's interesting. Like, he grew up. And I think this is where I always have qualms with, like, this, you know, where golf's going with this prescriptive, you only should play one shot shape. It's like he learned the game hitting draws, and then he started to hit a fade. As he got older, his body changed, and he realized that the fade was better for him, right?
Yep.
So, like, this whole prescriptive, like, you need to figure out what your shot shape is and only hit that shape. As, like, a young golfer, that's idiotic, okay?
That's not his history either.
Exactly. Yeah. What you need to do is you need to learn how to hit both the shots and then figure out which one's best for you. And maybe there are rare talents, like Will Zalatoris's example. He draws and fades irons. He hits both shapes. But, you know, like, you might find that you could do both of them really well. And then that's great. But, like, don't just... say, I have to hit a fade, like, figure it out for yourself before, you know, like, all golf is figuring it out for yourself. And he's a perfect story of that. Like, he figured out golf, like, hey, I play best when I hit a little fade. And I tweeted this last year, and I feel quite vindicated at this point, as he has a huge lead in strokes gained approach, that he's the best iron player since Tiger. And I still think it's very true. I don't think anybody holds a candle to him, and he doesn't hit one shape.
Okay, so people gobbled up the whole, you know, I love to get creative thing. Now he comes back with a little more red meat for the media, gobble up today, saying this week at the Scottish Open just meant the world to him. I don't know if you saw that, right? Last week, he changed his irons based on playing in the wispy fescue, and he couldn't find the center of the club face. His, what, 7 through 9, I think. He changed it. Like, that's red meat for the media. You could get a couple paragraphs out of that one. You get a headline. You get a narrative. You could build stories. Do we go with that? Are we dubious of that, as we should be of the sort of, I love to get creative and hit a bunch of different shot shapes, like, here overseas. Like, this isn't like knocking Morikawa. Like, he's won a major. He's solo second. Shot a 64 that felt like a bad 64, and he's the best iron player, as you said, in the world. But, like, oh, and he's not the only one who does this. He's creating a little. He knows how to build the myth making, the mystique around. He knows what these guys want to hear, and so does Spieth, by the way, because Spieth is talking all about the fans and the, you know, getting over there and the external living on the externals and stuff. Like, people love to hear that. Are you convinced that Morikawa changed his iron? Like, this Scottish Open was this grand aha moment.
I'm sure he changed it. Like, that seems reasonable. I don't know what you want me to say here. You trying to say that he's a liar?
No, No, I just think it makes for a story, though, too.
It does,
he clearly
of course.
Got something out of it, out of going to the Scottish Open. He's like, I would have been maybe screwed if I hadn't done that.
Here's the thing. Media loves people that are candid and tell them stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's way more, it's way better than being closed off and standoffish or, you know, trying to act like you're smarter than everybody else when you talk to the media. Like, media really likes just, like, you telling them the way it is. Like, maybe this is exactly what happened. I don't know. I want to move on to Spieth. Are you disappointed, not encouraged by his finish at all today? Kind of limped home.
I mean, that was a bad three putt at 15. It's like, that was the hardest 14. Hole. 15 was the hardest hole on Thursday. It's not an easy hole today, if not the hardest, but
didn't he does all 14.
Does all the easy, the hard part, right? Getting it on the green and then three putts. It hits its good drive and then three putts it. Yeah, misses the birdie chance of 14. I don't think so. I think he's the little tap in on 18 was a little unnerving. Like a little, he was like, ooh, whoa, what happened there? It was a par, but I don't think so. Again, 67, he said, was felt like a, you know, he left a ton out there. You know, we hear that all the time. I'm not concerned. Are you by the last six, seven holes?
No. I think that's just like his bad stretch of golf. We see it with every major championship. You're going to have a bad stretch of golf. Dylan Fratelli, one of the last guys in, fourth place. Cheap Dylan Fratelli. I floated out on Twitter that I'd really love to see a Netflix show, travel show with Dylan Fratelli teaching us all of his hacks to save money. What do you think about that?
I think that would be like a disservice to the service industry and everyone out there that's trying to make a living. We don't need to tell people how to be cheapskates. We don't need education tutorials on that, especially the Fratelli way, which seems to be like the extreme. I'm never going to tell you you need to be Mr. Moneybags and shower the world with tips, but I posted, like, for some reason, program this week was Dylan Fratelli working out at the John Deere class, some gym in the Quad Cities area, and I posted it. I was like, why are we getting this during a major championship week? Why is this the programming? And like, our replies instantly. It's like, definitely the guy who goes city to city and does the 1 week free trial at the gyms, bouncing around. Which, very witty replies, and probably accurate. So, Fratelli, what do you want me to say? Is he playing with Spieth? They're probably paired together, right?
He will be with Spieth.
I got and DJ there's and some, Scheffler are together.
There's okay. Some great titles. My favorite one was from Robert Giannotti, Save a Penny with Dylan Fratelli.
Kind of rhymes. Yeah. Yep.
It's like
a travel show, huh?
Yeah. Maybe it's just an Instagram series. I don't know. But
should I pitch this to the people at Discovery?
Yeah.
My new boss is at Discovery. Okay.
CW said, here it could have been one of his hacks. If your sunglasses have clear lenses, you can wear them as waiting regular glasses too.
I mean, props to him. He shot a 66-67. I don't know. He doesn't do anything for me.
So, somebody else talked about how if you have a courtesy car, you don't have to return it with full tank of gas.
That's
so
true.
He carries around a tube that he siphons off the gas.
Oh, no.
And sells to people.
Do people know the origin? I think people mostly do. Like, we had a European tour intel when he was on the Euro tour, say he wears the sun sleeves to save on sunscreen. Had a reputation of being like, you know, the sun sleeves he probably gets for cheap, for free from his, you know, apparel, whatever, endorser. And he was just notoriously cheap. Then he posted about having to pay like a surcharge that was like $1.19 for PPE, like masks and stuff for some restaurant workers. Like it was really, really irate about that dollar. So yeah, that's the origin story of the Dylan Fratelli cheapskate. He seems to be very aggressive, extreme cheapskate. So, but he's playing good golf, 66, 67. I think if you're asking me, he or Grio, that's sort of a worst case scenario. If we go to the weekend.
Danny Von Tonder.
I could have a little fun with Danny Von Tonder. Plus, I don't think that's going to happen.
Danny. So
Grio
legitimate...
just seems to be such a freaking grump. He's so pissed off all the time. But go ahead.
This is a legitimate take here. Just, this is like, it's just crazy because of like all the withdrawals. Fratelli got in because of withdrawal. Van Tonder got in because of withdrawals. So you have like two guys that got in because of withdrawals in the top seven. And then you got Marcel Siem, who qualified by winning a challenge tour event last week.
Last week. Wasn't the Bumblebee? Was he a, was he
Bumblebee,
an alternate?
Bumblebee was a withdrawal entrance
alternate.
Also.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
So you got Andy, so you got four guys in the top seven. Obviously, there's 11 guys T7 or better. Four of them weren't even in the field this time last week. Pretty incredible.
Yep. Where do you have any final conclusions on Spieth? Anything more you want to say? It was so fun to watch him on the front nine. The back nine became sort of the slog. He talked about how he's got to pack more food in his bag. Did you
is
see
that? Is
that
a Greller problem? Do you think, like, you know, we heard the story of Shenzhen Fang's caddy just giving up the sandwich, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you think Greller's, like, kind of...
Might have been digging into the pockets and...
Digging into the supply that's meant for the player. I thought that was interesting. He's like, I was getting, like, dizzy. I just kind of lost my juice at the end. So, first... What, 5-6 holes for a front nine? It's like, this guy seems unbeatable right now. But
my dad, you know, you speaking of like dad things that dads do, my dad caddied for me in a few like AM events over the years, and he would always be uber prepared with snacks. And like, I would just like three putt a green, and I'd walk off the green, and he'd be trying to give me like a brown banana, and I'd be like, no, I don't want a fucking brown banana right now. I'm like, I just three putted from 10 feet, like. But Greller's got to bring more snacks.
Yeah,
a caddy's kind of like a dad.
What's the best snack? Like, what's the snack lineup? What's the snack power rankings? Or what are the absolute no-go snacks? Things like, I assume you don't want, like, some pretty, you know, fattening, gross, like, you don't want
anything that makes your hands, like, sticky
or greasy,
like, that's an absolute no-go for the bag.
Ideally, you have a wrapper or something, or a skin you can eat around it, you know? Yeah.
RX bars, great.
Are we endorsed by RX bar?
I know one of the guys that started it.
Oh, wow. All right. Crooked. Okay. Doing a favor for a friend. You're going to have a box of RX bars on your doorstep tomorrow.
Well, I had a lot of brands to choose from. So I went with RX bar.
All right. You could blend them in your kitchen top countertop stand mixer and make some sort of RX bar. Concoction.
But
all right,
bananas. I'm a big banana guy.
Where? That doesn't. Okay, all right.
They're good. They got shell. They got the peel.
Yeah.
They're easy to eat.
Yeah, there's not a lot of like obvious snacks outside.
I think
the
potassium's good for you or something.
A little trail mix, things like that.
Trail mix is good. Peanuts. I think a lot of people like peanuts.
Sandwiches. I don't know. People seem to do the peanut butter and jelly nowadays. That's cool.
That's a
anyways,
good one.
Jordan Spieth needs more nourishment, I guess, on the back nine. That's the best case scenario.
I think that's on Michael.
Point. Well, they're limited. They can't go to the grocery stores. Maybe they just gotta. They're like us at the Beverage Boys house. By the end of the week, we're just kind of cobbling together whatever groceries are left. Scrapping together like weird omelets and things like that, whatever we had, just trying to get through whatever ingredients.
That was the most wild thing. Is like the tournament ended at 8:30, and for some reason everything on Kiowa closed at 9.
Yeah. So Spieth, any other reactions? Any other thoughts? He looks really good. He would be the best case scenario for my money right now, but it's all subjective.
Better than Louis.
Whoever you want. Yeah. I mean, yeah, by a lot.
God. I just Collins would feel for
Morikawa is better. I would too. I would too.
Oh, yes. Come on.
Yes.
That's such American bias. Louis is like, he's got six runner-ups in majors. He needs another one.
I gotcha.
He's had one of the best major years. Like, if he doesn't win this, it would be one of the best major years ever without a win. Right there with Ernie in 2000 when he lost to Tiger a bunch of times.
Hey, is your internet plugged in or is that me?
My internet's plugged in.
Horrible right now. Horrible. I'm getting every third word. Marcel Seam might be worst case scenario. Just anchoring away into the... What did Will Knight say? He doesn't leave room for Jesus or something? But I always got... It was the Holy Spirit where I grew up in dances. Leave room for the Holy Spirit. I don't know about Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit.
I don't
Spirit.
Know. I'm just a public school educated schmuck. So I don't know. Public school through and through.
Seam might be the worst case scenario. I think if we're getting into it,
I mean, a challenge tour winner or a challenge tour player winning the Open would be pretty bad. A guy in his 40s who probably anchors would be a bad win.
Has a German ever won it? I don't think so.
Bernhard right? never won it.
No, and he would be the only one. Probably.
Chaka didn't okay. win it, Keimer didn't win it.
Okay. Let's get to a couple of American bashers. DJ shows up finally at a major championship for the first time this year. Shoots a 65. Closes with an absolute dart into 18, a birdie. Bogey 15, made three in a row on 12 through 14. Somehow hit it under the only tree. DJ somehow had a punch shot from under a tree. Only tree in, within like 20 miles. Only tree on the course is Blackthorn, and on a par three, nonetheless, like not really in play for the pros at least. And he's under this tree having to punch out under the green.
What about his shot on 13 from like 50 yards left in the shit? You thought there's like, I was looking at that. I was like, well, it's too bad. DJ's gonna, yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like 3 feet away.
A birdie. Yeah. Birdie. I didn't see this coming, I guess. Maybe I should. He's the number one player in the world, but he's sort of been a no-show since, what, November? It's great to have him. Golf major championships are made better when DJ is at least making noise on the weekend. So he shot a 65. We had three rounds of 64 in terms of the round of the tournament matching Louis on Thursday. It was Morikawa, Emiliano Grumpy Grillo. Grumpy Griot and Rom. So that, but DJ was right there with his 65.
You know what's crazy is we didn't see any of Grumpy Griot's round really because we were watching Rory and JT battle the cut line.
I don't think we're going to talk about Rory. Can we get out of that? Right? Can we get out of today without talking about him?
I mean, right? I was ready to talk about him.
All right, let's talk about him. Let's talk about him eventually. Nothing on DJ.
I mean, I didn't really see it coming either, just because of form. But it's just a reminder that when you're one of the best players in the world, like, it can all click in a heartbeat, and it seemingly all clicked today. And now, you know, you look at the leaderboard and you think, he's in a really good spot. And it would be apropos given his disappointing 2011 experience here at Royal St. George's that if he won one. You know, it'll be something to watch, a game within the game. It's just watching his approach shots on 14. Today's was way left of that green. And it'll be interesting to see as the week goes on if any even come close to the green, because that's where he kind of bombed out his chance. Yeah. And like as much as he said, I think he said in the lead up he didn't remember anything, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he definitely remembers. Like that, you don't lose those thoughts.
I did. I don't know. I did get some not corroboration, but people when I was talking about he had a big night Saturday before that 2011. I think that might have been the case. Anyways, he hit one OB. He'll go left at 14. So you talked about talent, just like
What do you think the nightlife in South England like?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think he was there. I think
he went up to London.
Yeah, maybe, sure. I think he went to a big locale, a big city, from what I understand. Talent overcoming, sort of just showing up, like DJ, you said. We have Brooksy and Rom. The one sort of persistent takeaway I have about Rom after watching him for 2 or 3 years is like he could absolutely look on the border of eruption. And he probably does almost every week. Like, just doesn't look good. Well, not as weak. Is he going to melt down for 9 holes? Sometimes it's for an entire day. It happened this year, I think, at the Players. Like, it's just like he's off. He's like, all right, well, we can. You can just never set him aside. And then he'll be there Sunday. Maybe he won't win. Maybe he won't even be, like, necessarily contending. But he will kind of almost always find his way back to the top 10. And that's what we got yesterday. People are like, well, Rahm's done. He's, you know, going for an adventure in this pot bunker. It's you know, good run. And here he is. He shoots a 64. He's 5 under, like you said, 6 seems doable for you. That seems like a more, more within arm's length of the leader. And the same, I guess, goes for Brooksy, because he started horribly again today. He bogeyed the par 3, doubled 4. And there he is with a 66. So that's just, yeah, it was gettable. 60,
he shot 66 and was 2 over through 4. Which is pretty impressive, you know, with the bogey and the double. I don't know. Both of them. The thing is, they're both so good at every aspect of the game of golf that it's impossible for them to shoot really bad scores regularly. You know, like it's.
Yeah.
I think that's the big difference between Bryson and these guys in terms of like. It's just these guys, like Bryson's got the distance and he's a really good putter now. But I think like he doesn't have the full package, like these guys have.
It's like he's a step below. He's not bad. He's certainly, like we talked about yesterday, he somehow shot a 71, missing almost every fairway. But yeah, he's not up to the Kepka Rahm sort
well,
of
I think
level
it,
when it's not
I think
going.
you look at like the two. Approach has always been the most important thing to be the best at, and distance is catching up, like, off the tee. So, like, he's the best in the world at one of the two big categories, right? But Rahm and DJ, or Rahm, DJ, and Brooks, for that matter, are all very elite at both of those when they're on. You know, like, DJ's been a little hit or miss this year, obviously, but when those three guys are all very good at both of them. You know,
yep. He is in on the number while we're here talking about him. Bryson playing with Taylor Gooch at 9:30, which is what 4:30.
You getting up?
Yeah. To watch Gooch thick boy? No, I don't think I will be getting up for that one.
I'm worried that he's going to cut into our the next time we do the chocolate milk hat sales because he's not so thick anymore.
Oh, well, that doesn't mean he is not just guzzling down chocolate milk, drinking every, you know, entire grocery stores and localities out of chocolate milk.
You know what I'm saying?
He did that when he was at his thinnest.
If Yuxin Lin had made a birdie, he would have been out by himself.
You're out by himself.
You know, he's got, I'm saying had Yuxin Lin made birdie on
Bryson.
18,
oh,
Bryson would have been out on his own. Yeah. Would have been perfect. He would have been able to choose a marker to play by himself. What do you think he would have chosen?
I mean, do you think? He might have had. They might have had the group waiting on him. You know, that would be the game within the game. Can Bryson stay out in front as a single? Can he keep time par or whatever they would call it as a single? That would have been a great game within the game. But instead, he's with Taylor Gooch. He's going to clog up the entire tee sheet because he's number 2. Everybody behind him, you know, he's checking his numbers. I will say, I don't think we ever talked about this at the PGA. The guy walks like a jackrabbit.
So fast.
It's unbelievable. We followed him for a few holes, and we were huffing it, trying to catch up to him. He does walk fast. He's just
slow everywhere else. And I don't know why in his mind that seems to make it call it even. So,
well, his caddy can't keep up with him.
His former caddy. Maybe his current caddy, too. I don't know.
How about the bumblebee sticking around? Did you see that coming?
Flying below the radar. Flapping his wings. Pollinating all over the countryside of Sandwich. I didn't see anything on Andy Sullivan, good, bad, or otherwise, beforehand. If you're asking me about Andy Sullivan insight. No. He was a former Ryder Cupper. He's been good at golf at one point or another, but it's not been recently. You know, world top of the leaderboard at world-class events. But sure.
Hey, real serious talk. I love the setup because of the variety we have right now. This might change. You know, Obama might still win, but like we've got a lot of different types of guys, like a lot of different types of players. Distance is not a prerequisite skill to be on this leaderboard, which is really, it's really nice having tournaments that are kind of democratic and based more about your all total skill package rather than, you know, predominantly one skill.
Hey, I was thinking about something earlier. As we go across the next decade, 15 years, is Spieth going to actually be more consistently suited to this than the Masters, or is it just kind of tomato tomato? Both.
I think both of those. If you look at the winners of both those tournaments, they're generally the tournaments that, you know, afford you the right. most, you know, external conditions, whether it be weather or lies or, you know, tough greens without green reading books. But like those are both events that like really require a lot of feel and kind of that like natural golf instinct. And
talk about the darling, the golden child, just the absolute darling of the, you know, always showing up at the Opens, the artistry of the Opens and the Masters and the these other bombers, these brutes at the inelegant PGA and the US Open's
the ultimate brute test now.
Yeah. If that's the way, granted, he's back to being good, and it seems like he'll be good again for a while, hopefully. It just feels like this is repeatable year over year over year, and we've seen that kind of be the case at Augusta, even when he doesn't have his game. So that will be red meat for the romantics.
You know, all he has to do is, like, if he didn't have any sponsors, like, if Spieth, like, you know, grew a beard and then, you know, embraced some like non big brand clothing company, like maybe Beach Ratty, you know, and then had like a, you know, like a stand bag instead of the big staff bag, he would be like everybody. The hipsters of golf would just go nuts.
Yeah, it would be good.
He would up his Q rating that way.
Is Andy Sullivan the best chance for a home in English winter? Do you give Paul Casey much of a chance? He's
no.
5-under.
We've had 20 years of Paul Casey. In
the house cat.
Basically this exact position almost every single major. I was on a radio show in Green Bay.
Big shot. Radio. Well, do you answer those emails? I feel bad.
I go on the Green Bay one every time because I get to talk a little bit of football, a little bit of basketball, too.
How about that? Okay. All right.
Yeah. People were shocked that I was invited onto sports radio in Green Bay. It's now 3 straight majors I've been invited on.
How about that?
But Paul Casey came up, and I was like, because the guy I helped him draft his pool, which is an idiotic thing to have me on to help you draft a pool. But he was like, "What about Paul Casey?" And I'm like, "Well, he's really high floor, low ceiling. Like he's gonna probably top 25. He always top 25s, but he's not gonna win."
Hey, I think Low Englishman might be Big John. Big John Thompson.
I love him.
He's got to start playing like a towel over his shoulder, like Big John Hoya Paranoia. Thompson. Big John Thompson. Both 6'9".
Somebody's got to Photoshop it.
The English. Big
I
John
love
Thompson.
That guy. Did you see that? Did you see the stage? What do they call those? The thing you take pictures in front of? The stage?
I don't know.
Whatever the thing that they do the interviews in front of.
Oh, the, you know, quick, like, quotes area or whatever?
Yeah, like, I think they're called stage something.
Mixed zone. The mixed zone this week.
No, but like the infrastructure is called a stage something. But anyways, the infrastructure isn't tall enough.
Oh, really?
Like, when they had to adjust the camera for the shot, they lost the straight open wall. They caught some of the real wall because he was so big that the camera had to go straight, so shoot up on such an angle. It's amazing. Him, the 6'9", and for anybody that doesn't see him, he's 6'9", 320 or whatever. And he just dwarfs everybody around him. It's amazing.
It's good stuff.
He's
not
a legitimate, like, lineman size human.
Yeah, an actual, like, football. I mean, his arms aren't too big, but hey, whatever. How are you feeling about Westy? Well, we're on the subject of English players.
I mean, he's
playing
beating up par right now. He's got one shot cushion on par. He's probably feeling really good about that.
Anybody else? Who were you most disappointed in?
Well, he's got two shot cushion to par.
Cut bombers. Anybody that just disappointed you? Did our guy Cantlay? Yeah, he's out. He's gone. Cut.
How about Hatton's performance today?
You know, Hugo Boss is like the big brand sponsor.
He's been staring at me all day.
Cantlay is gone. Keimer is gone. I don't know.
Do you have that open leaderboard up?
Yes, yes.
He's been on the side panel all day. Yes. Like, it's been like at the corner of my screen. Every time I look at my screen, Cantlay's staring back at me.
Yep. Patrick Reed, again, I don't, like, really disappointed. I would love to see him figure out how to play Lynx Golf. It just seems so well suited.
I'm disappointed in Herbert. The Herbert.
Not Hebert or Herbert? Which one?
Herbert.
Okay. Joe Lawn turning pro.
Do you see Big Leash open? Big Leash out there putting with a wedge.
Yeah.
He shot
nearly got back to the weekend. What did you want to say about Hatton's? Flipping off the crowd, breaking clubs, stomping clubs out. This is who he is. He's this little, bag of fireworks. He doesn't show up at majors, as you've pointed out several times on this podcast.
You know what he is? He's kind of like Sergio Garcia without the inflammatory comments towards others.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, without the 20 years of history of being a child. Or maybe it's just 10, 5, 3. Sergio's hanging around for someone who's
big
just
tats.
Basically been hardly a golfer since the Masters, you know.
Can we talk about Rory?
Yeah. Sure. Begrudgingly. Fine. What do you want to talk about? His quote that he doesn't need anything, he's happy, he's fine. Like, I'm not gonna put it, it's great perspective. He's got four majors, he says he's got a beautiful family. I'm not wanting for anything. You know, Kobe Bryant fetishist would probably, you know, mock him for that, saying he's satisfied. I think there's
maybe he needs to read the Bamba mentality.
Oh God. No, he doesn't. I don't go that way. But I think there's some balance. I don't know. I think he wants to win more majors. I don't think he gets pissed off enough, but that is a knock that we've heard from folks close, maybe, that, like, when he does play like shit or have something unfortunate happen to him, it's like off his shoulders quickly, within an hour of the round being over. Maybe that's a good thing. I'm not trying to be critical. This isn't actually my own opinion. This is like what you hear around him, or that, like, also at times he's not grinding on like wedges. He hasn't put in that time necessarily. Maybe he has over the past few months but when DJ sort of passed him and did all that was the knock. It was like, well, Rory's really not putting in the time on the wedges. So I don't know. There's some balance there that, like, he could be better, maybe. And then also being like a good perspective. I don't know. It's a quote that will provoke takes no matter what, that he doesn't want it enough, or he's you know, not Michael Jordan. You know, he's not competitive enough. He's not willing to give everything, give it his all, or, you know, that this is the right, healthy perspective.
Or what did you think about his round? He's just not as good as he used to be.
Yeah, he's got some holes.
That's what I'm settling on these days.
Were you frustrated that he was like getting shot by shot, and he's getting graphics dedicated to him, to his par five scoring as he's 10 shots off the lead, just grinding, like getting entire graphic packages made up for him on his par five scoring? Was that bothering you? What did you want to talk? I didn't want to talk about Rory. I didn't think we could say his, I think we'd get out of here without saying his name. You wanted a segment on Rory.
You seemed despondent during golf today that he was being shown so much. So I really wanted to get you talking about him, which I did, you know?
Asshole. No, I wasn't despondent. We got to stop. He's not like, this 8 years ago. I don't know. He's not Tiger. Rightfully so. Golf Channel has just nonstop.
All right, contender, pretender, real quick before we shut this thing down. It's way too long already.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume you're going to say the top three are contenders, so we're not going to waste our time there. Is Dylan Fratelli?
I don't know about Louis.
Okay. Are you saying pretender for Louis?
Yeah.
Okay. So if he's in the mix on the back nine on Sunday, you were wrong.
No. If he doesn't win.
That's just not contender pretender.
I would say he was a pretender on the 17th tee at Torrey Pines. He was a pretender. And it came to fruition.
If you contend late on Sunday, you're a contender. Right, if you bomb out before then, you're a pretender. Okay. Bryson was a contender at Torrey.
Okay. Okay, fine. Then he's a contender. Fine.
Dylan Fratelli.
Pretender.
You don't think his frugal nature could his frugal spirit could lend itself well on a gritty weekend at a major championship, just gritting it together?
He's just living up at Royal St. George's and player dining.
He's got a
groceries. I don't have a grocery problem. Beach. I just eat here all day. No, I say pretender because I refuse to entertain the alternate reality of him contending down the stretch.
I don't know what all these people are complaining about the dining situation. I mean, don't they just take the food from player dining for later anyways?
Well, I mean, that was this tip we also got, that he was notorious. Like, he'd have a morning tea time and somehow show up for dinner at player dining at these events. Like, he'd be... Didn't you finish like 4 hours ago? All right.
DJ.
Are you saying he's a contender or pretender? I want your answer on Fratelli.
I'll go with contender. I'm in.
Frugal?
I might become part of the Dylan Fratelli fan club.
Frugal Fratelli. Okay.
Just like
how about
you shifted on Go Crack, became a big fan. I think I might become a big fan of Fratelli.
How about Grumpy Grillo? Frugal Fratelli and Grumpy Grillo, is he a contender?
No.
Does he finish with all 14 clubs?
No.
He might throw one in the Suez Canal or out into the hay. No, he's not a contender. He's a you know, combustible sort of volcano.
All right, rapid fire, all right?
Yes, yeah.
Van Tonder.
Pretender.
Seam.
Pretender.
Bumblebee.
Pretender. I mean, some of these guys have
Justin Harding.
Pretender.
All of them. None of those guys.
Get him out of here. I mean, one of them, but the odds are like one of those guys. You seem to have such a soft definition of contention, though. Like, you know, just making it through 72 holes is contention. Are you giving any of those guys contender?
No, I'm not giving any of them either.
All right. Good.
I just wanted to run through all of them. What about right. Brooksy?
Yeah, of course. Of course. He'll be there.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say Pretender for Brooksy.
Oh, okay. All right.
Rom?
How about Brooksy? Is he not the thirstiest man alive?
Oh, the Schefter thing was so bad.
Oh, pathetic. At me next time so I get my pip. You know the driver comment. He knew it. He's a puppet. He's just his puppeteer. He threw it out there. Everybody went nuts. They aggregated it. They went. They flew with it. His pip rating, which he's got some dashboard, allegedly, that he's looking at. He's well aware of his pip standing. And then he goes, the Schefter thing was beneath him. Maybe not, but asking, you need to at me next time? Because Schefter has, whatever, millions of followers. Oh, God. Just, that really turned me off, you know? Not that I'm Team Bryson, but that's just...
You know what I think the reality of this situation that we've learned with both of them is they both really aren't good. They just both suck, you know?
Like, all right. You're saying he's a pretender, though. Pretender. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Best major player of this era. Pretender.
Well, okay. I'm just saying he's not going to be contending late on Sunday. That's what I'm saying.
What'd you say with DJ? What was the verdict there?
I'm saying contender. What are you saying?
Pretender.
Smoke and mirrors, just one good round.
Yeah, I don't think he has it together.
What about Scheffler?
I think he's going to shoot like 70-70, and they'll be out of here. Scheffler's a contender. He's been too good, too consistent for too long.
Scheffler could be a Ryder Cupper.
God willing.
Is Phil going to be on the Ryder Cup team? After his major win,
that
comes
PGA was such a just fleeting
absurd
sort of shooting star. Yeah,
it's becoming more and more. It's becoming more and more amazing that he won, because he played like complete garbage going into it, and he's playing like complete garbage out of it.
Just on Twitter all day. Yeah, it's unbelievable that he won that. Anybody else you need to throw at me? We still got 36. We'll do this
Westy?
Tomorrow night, too. Westy is...
Do you think Westy finishes above or below par?
I think he finishes one under in the red. It's hard. What do you think about the course? Has it been too easy?
I mean, what do you want him to do?
It's got to blow. I mean,
yeah.
If you want it to
they
be
had
hard.
A lot of, they
great,
had a lot
right?
of gettable pins today. So,
yeah.
You know, I think... It's going to get firmer. It was firmer today than it was yesterday. So
yeah,
it's going to keep getting firmer because it's going to be sunny and dry and a little, if it's supposed to be pretty calm, but like if the wind blows a little, it's going to be, it's great. It's doing like, it's really identifying players that are playing better than other, like I think that it's doing a really good job of letting players separate. Like we saw Louis, you know, his shot making faltered down the stretch. It wasn't like because these holes are artificially hard, right? They're hard holes, but like, you know, if you hit good shots, you can make a birdie on all of them, right? It's not like you're just going to bogey something coming in, right? Like if he had kept executing shots like he had the first 31 holes, he might have ended up at, I don't know, 13, 14 under, and then the conversation would be so much different tonight.
Hey, game within the game. Rory, the game number 11 at 11:05 tomorrow. Rory versus Dick Bland. Loser has to wear Tommy Fleetwood's hat on the golf course.
I'm not buying
year.
Tommy Fleetwood's hat. I'll take Rory.
All right, I'll take Dick. Dick Bland going head to head, poofing it out there, poofing Rory to death. I'm just wondering, Rory's out at 6, what is it, 5 a.m.? 6 a.m. How many shots are showing of Rory's tomorrow as he just putters along 10 shots behind the lead?
What
All
about
right,
this
anything
game
else?
Within the game? Kevin Streelman versus Lanto Griffin.
My internet cut out. What'd you say?
Game within the game, Kevin Streelman versus Lanto Griffin.
Oh, God, that's terrible. That's so bad. That's like a Northern Trust special. You know, that first playoff event and say, hey, guys, although they're doing well this year. I shouldn't say that. But
how about this one? How about this one? The featherweight versus the heavyweight. Abe Anser versus Kokrak.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's like you could put Abe in his pocket. I got to go Kokrak. Form and yeah, I love it. Kokrak's been great this year. PXG it, versus
have you noticed how Kara Banks, who's a very tall woman, is on some sort of a platform when they cut to these interviews. So she's like in the foreground of the video on a platform, and she's like probably 6 feet tall, right?
Yeah, she's tall. Probably not 6 feet. 6 feet's really tall.
Okay, so like she's 5'10", on a platform, in the foreground of a video, and she keeps interviewing these golfers. They make him look like Will on that chair. They make him look like just tiny, tiny little.
Who'd she have today back to back? She had Grillo
and Morikawa. Yeah.
Looked little. Yeah.
They looked tiny. They looked like they were little kids.
Kokrak answer is unbelievable. How about Steele McIntyre?
Well, who's Thompson playing with?
Rail thin with sort of the thick boy from Oban. Oban. Who's Thompson?
Thompson Westy.
Oh,
what a pairing!
Wow.
God, I wish I was out there.
So much character in that low Englishman. God, that is a great one. What a pairing! All right. Anything else?
I get a message from the wife if I'm still recording.
Everyone enjoy your Friday nights. We'll be back Saturday. And yeah, enjoy the Open. Saturday morning view. Talk to you then.